crucifixion. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all the favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Again. And because you are submissive, your spiritual masters have endowed you with all favors bestowed upon a gentle disciple. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Purport. The secret of success in spiritual life is in satisfying the spiritual master and thereby getting his sincere blessings. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has sung in his famous 8 stanzas on the spiritual master as follows. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Only by his satisfaction can one please the personality of Godhead. And when he is dissatisfied, there is only havoc on the path of spiritual realization. It is essential, therefore, that a disciple be very much obedient and submissive to the bona fide spiritual master. Srila Suta Goswami fulfilled all these qualifications as a disciple, and therefore he was endowed with all favors by his learned and self-realized spiritual masters, such as Srila Vyasadeva and others. The sages of Namisharanya were confident that Srila Suta Goswami was bona fide. Therefore, they were anxious to hear from him. So this setting is the sacrifice at Namisharanya, which is to be held for thousands of years, just at the beginning of Kali Yuga, for the benefit of ourselves or the persons in Kali Yuga. So, Sutta is praised here for his qualities of gentleness. His name is Ugrashrava Sutta. And it's interesting to remember the history of this sacrifice and how he got the seat, the Vyasa Sana, to sit and speak. The history was that this sacrifice was going on and it was attended by Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram, this is at the time of the Kurukshetra War. Like Krishna, did not want to take part in the fight. And he went to the battlefield. First he tried to avoid it, but he went to the battlefield and there was his student, Duryodhana. Balaram taught Duryodhana how to fight with the club. So Duryodhana was the most expert club fighter. But he was fighting with Bhima, a strong fighter of the Pandavas. So Bhima was stronger than Duryodhana, but Duryodhana was a better club fighter. So they were fighting and fighting, and no one was winning. So Balaram saw this and he said, why don't you just stop, because no one will be victorious. So they didn't care for his instruction, and then he left. And he went on a pilgrimage. So, like a brahmana, he went to all the sacred places in India, and he came to Namisharanya, and there was this yajna going on, and speaking was the Romaharshan Sutta. His name Sutta means mixed birth. Romaharshan Sutta was mixed in that his mother was a Brahmin and the father was lower caste. He was Kshatriya. That's called Pratiloma. There's different kinds of Sutta or mixed births. Aniloma, when the husband is higher caste than the wife. So he was mixed. Of course, nowadays, everything is Sutta or not even mixed of any higher caste. It's all Shudra or less than Shudra. So still we see though that someone was mixed, but still he was placed because he was a great learned scholar. It didn't matter what his birth was. That can be forgotten, just as in our case, it is said that a Vaishnava's past should not be inquired into. These sociologists, they like to do this, why persons came to Krishna consciousness for these or those reasons. But it's not important. Now that we've come, we don't care for these karmic names, this karmic history, what we were doing wrong. We're accepted by our association with Srila Prabhupada and to develop now these transcendental qualities. But if again these things come out, this hippie background or sinful background, then any observer, he may again remember, yes, actually these people, they're just riffraff, they're just hippies, and they're trying to take to Krishna consciousness. That background has no bearing on us now. But if again we don't strictly follow, then people will remember. So Rama Harsham was like that. Everyone accepted him. They didn't consider his birth. But then Lord Balaram came into this assembly, and all the great sages and yogis, transcendentalists, they all stood up and offered him respects. That was a learned gathering, and learned means that you know who is the personality of Godhead. That's the meaning of education. Gurukula, any school, this is the idea, to understand what is God, what is Krishna, what is Balaram. So Rama Harshan, he was puffed up, thinking that I am on the Vyasasana, I'm the great scholar speaking, and he didn't get up and pay obeisances. So Lord Balaram was very angry. And so everyone knows that he killed him with a kusha grass by touching him. And it's remarked there in the Krishna book that if someone becomes a great a spiritually advanced person, appears to be spiritually advanced, is given such a position, but actually he can give apparent evidence of transcendental advancement by scholarship, or by austerity, by other kinds of leadership, but he lacks this gentleness, which is one of the qualities of the Brahman, sometimes described as simpleness, like here, or forgiveness, gentleness, submissiveness, just the opposite of demoniac qualities like harshness, rebellious, arrogant, puffed up, hurting others, thinking oneself independent like the scientists, not submissive to God, God's instructions, God's devotees, arrogant. So he was not gentle. So I said, what good is all this education and even spiritual education if he hasn't become gentle towards the devotees, if he's dealing harsh with the devotees, or what to speak of the Supreme Lord? Then Balaram remembered, actually, he's just a sutta, and he's a rascal. So he killed him with the kusha grass. But this jagya was a very important jagya, as we see how it was carried on into this Srimad Bhagavatam. So the Brahmins, they protested and cried out, what have you done, Balaram? This is this jagya, this man was given injunction that he would live for thousands of years so that the jagya could go on and there would be no interruption. And so now that you've broken this, of course you're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you can do what you like, but it's not a very good example. So Lord Balaram said, yes, you're right, it's all right if I do this, but others may get a bad example. So I'll bring him back to life. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is so powerful that even if apparently he does something wrong or that people think wrong, he can immediately rectify it. Like sometimes in the course of our activities, we do something wrong, and then it seems that there's no way that you can undo the bad, especially in personal relationships, to speak of killing someone. But it was nothing to Lord Balaram. But the Brahmin said, no, whatever you do should stick. But we're putting you with this contradictory problem. What you do should stay, but what you've done is not so good. Now this jagya is stopped. So he figured out that what we can do is have the jagya continued by the son of Rama Harshan Sutra, the Vishrava Sutta. And the son is considered like the father, the same body, or the expansion of the body. So that's what they did. But here Sutta is praised as just the opposite of his father. As father was declared not gentle and not submissive, although he was a great scholar. He's mentioned even in the disciplic succession of the Vedas as being one of the professors of knowledge, being given the one of the departments of knowledge by Vyasadeva. But you can even advance so much in spiritual life as to become a disciple of Vyasadeva, and yet if you remain puffed up with false ego about your, even about your spiritual assets in relation to other devotees. I am a great devotee, this devotee, he's a nothing devotee. And even so blind as to forget, I'm a great devotee, God is not to be considered always in relation to me. Then you have to fall down and be killed. So here's the difference. Sutta is very submissive. So he heard, he was, he got his knowledge from hearing from Shukadeva Goswami. When Shukadeva Goswami first spoke, here it's mentioned that he got the favor of his spiritual masters, plural, like Vyasadeva and others. So this is eternal knowledge. Krishna introduced it to this material world with Lord Brahma. He taught the Srimad Bhagavatam in four nutshell verses. They're printed in the second canto. And Lord Brahma taught that to Narada. Narada taught that as a synopsis of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Vyasa when Vyasa was not happy over compiling the rest of the Vedic literature. He told him how he should do it, the Srimad Bhagavatam, concentrate on the glories of Krishna. So then Vyasadeva in his meditation realized the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he taught that to his son Shukadeva, when Shukadeva was still within the womb. And then Shukadeva, he spoke what's considered the first time with the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses, to Maharaj Parikshit, and among the persons there was Sutta. So Sutta got the blessings of all the gurus. We, our position is now hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Srila Prabhupada. You have to hear in disciplic succession. So we also get the yasya prasadat bhagavat prasadat, yasya prasadat nagatir jatopi. We also get the blessings of all the gurus when we get the blessings of Srila Prabhupada. So yasya devi para bhaktir tata, yasya devi para bhaktir tata deve tata guru, yasya te tatati kyarta prakasatam mahatmana. Only if you are faithful to your guru and to Krishna can you understand Krishna consciousness, no one else. So just by our being submissive to Prabhupada, we get the blessings of all the gurus. Srila Prabhupada has explained it like electricity is connecting all, through all the wires over a field of distance. Electricity is everywhere. So he's always in touch, he says, with his spiritual master. And his spiritual master is always in touch, naturally. He's not alone concocting, but he's in touch with his spiritual master. And it goes back like that, so that when Prabhupada touches us, or when we hear Prabhupada's message, teachings, that's like electricity. Immediately, it connects all the way back to this Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, all the acharyas, back to Krishna, like a flash of electricity. In other words, you don't have to concern yourself with all these different personalities. Study Prabhupada and then study Ramanuja, study Madhva, study... no. You just be submissive to your spiritual master, and all the whole charge comes from there. The whole link or the whole line comes from your one spiritual master. All the links are finalized in the present link of you and your spiritual master. So all we have to do is be submissive to Srila Prabhupada. Don't think it's some material thing. Other gurus, they cannot do this. They can only give you themselves. They can't give you Krishna, and they can't give you the disciplic succession. They sometimes have some charisma, some attraction, some material benediction. They can make gold, or they can give you something. So all you can get is themselves, some ordinary person who's actually a demon, like Ramaharsha and Sutta, cutting himself off from Krishna and the pure devotees. The pure devotees, they're all a line of submissive, gentle devotees who are just like Ishwara Puri. He was so submissive to his spiritual master that he even cleaned his place when he was at the end of his life ill. He was so submissive. And all the gurus in the disciplic succession, they never say anything except surrender to Krishna. They were big intellectuals and scholars, but they didn't care to put forward anything of their own manufacture, but just present what Krishna says. Nowadays, everyone is so puffed up and independent, they can't appreciate this disciplic succession of gentle teachers who understand that they're not God, and they control their senses, and they try to teach what Krishna has taught. So these gurus that we find today, so-called gurus, they can't give you Krishna, they can't give you any disciplic succession. This is the difference between the... So don't take it as another guru. When we surrender to Prabhupada, we surrender to Krishna, and we surrender to all these bona fide spiritual masters like Narada, Vyasa, Sukadeva Goswami. Therefore, it's very important for us to develop this. This is a very important verse for the devotees. If we're submissive, if we are gentle, then we'll get the favors from the spiritual master. He's giving the instructions. Just like Charu Prabhu was reading, Prabhupada was saying, we have to spread Krishna consciousness by this book distribution. And so many times Prabhupada had said, if you carry on this work for me, preach Krishna consciousness. So if we do this, then we get his benediction, the benediction of Lord Chaitanya and the Sankirtan movement. How it happens, we cannot figure out the transcendental system. We say something, for example, like electricity. It's not subject to material reason, how in the heart the devotion is planted, how the blessing is there. Of course, the Lord is in the heart. And when the Lord sees that you are sincere and submissive, He's the witness. And so, He awards you. In that way, Prabhupada is also present in the heart through the super soul. The super soul sees, oh, he has got these orders from his spiritual master, and he is trying to avoid them. He is a rascal. He is lazy. So he cannot award you intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam prittipurvakam. One who is very dearly, lovingly carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Yes, my spiritual master says to do this, so I have to do this. Some devotees were talking to Prabhupada on a tape, and they were saying, now, Prabhupada, some devotees are independent. They were talking about in India, some devotees would go on so much pilgrimage, and actually it was just to avoid service. So he said, they're independent. And Prabhupada said, so we're all independent in any case. It's not that they're independent. Everyone is independent. Every living entity is independent. We've got our independence. He said, but the sincere disciple will think, I'll just do what my guru has said. I will wrap myself up in carrying out his instructions. This is also his exercise of independence. We all have independence. It's not like they say that we've become brainwashed. We are doing this without our independence. They say, let's get the devotees and give them back their independence. This is their so-called preaching, that they've had their independence taken away, so we should, by force, remove them from Krishna consciousness and give them back their independence. No, we have our independence now. You're trying to take our independence away by forcing us. We've independently chosen Krishna consciousness. And we are voluntarily rendering service. Everyone is independent. This service is done by independent living entities who agree that I want, with my independence, I'm a little intelligent, about what's to be done. I want to do what my spiritual master. So every day we have to surrender. Every minute we have to surrender our independence to serving Krishna and get that benediction of being protected by Krishna and Prabhupada. Sometimes we hear some so-called pious person say, yes, I love God. Every morning I get up and I fold my palms and I say, whatever I do today, I dedicate to you, Lord. And then that's their only thought of God. And then they do all nonsense, but think that in the beginning of the day, it's been offered to God. No, actually, the free will has to be surrendered every minute. And it can be done just by following the instructions. It's not that every minute you have to figure out, now how shall I surrender? What shall I do now? What shall I do now? But you just take up the position of disciple and follow the instructions. Now I have the chance. Everything is scheduled. We have a schedule that's very important for sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada said when he was introducing this schedule, he said, now if you follow these schedules, then Maya will never creep into the camp. So, because at 4:30 or at 2 or 3 we rise, at 4:30 we're at Mangal Arati, then chanting, then class, then clean, then prasadam, then sankirtan, everything like that. There's no time. There's no time. There's no space for Maya. There's no space for any independence except this surrendering to Krishna. So this is so praiseworthy, this willingness or this gentleness. Gentleness doesn't mean that he's some kind of inactive fool like that, but he's very gentle in this one direction, towards the spiritual masters, towards the prabhus, the devotees, towards the Lord. Towards the demons, he's actually gentle, but he sometimes is aggressive or sometimes callous, depending on what has to be done in relation to them. He's callous towards their criticism. When they don't want Krishna consciousness, sometimes he has to be aggressive to try to give them Krishna consciousness. But not toward the devotees. Prabhupada, when one devotee, one of the women devotees in Chicago, asked Prabhupada about how can we be aggressive on Sankirtan, but we're not supposed to be like that towards other devotees, harsh dealing or aggressive. Prabhupada said, yes, you should be a lion in the chase and a lamb at home. He said, but don't come home and be a lion with the devotees. So we have to be submissive and gentle and obedient in Krishna consciousness to the spiritual masters. And that is the real meaning of this meekness. It is very essential, especially meek towards whatever the spiritual master has said. If you speculate or try to answer back, even unconsciously or in any way, or criticize or doubt intellectually, these are all signs of not being gentle and chaste towards your one Lord and Master, Srila Prabhupada. You should have already agreed that he is a perfect person to follow. At that time, there was some question. You were perhaps not so gentle. You asked challenging questions in your mind or outwardly and didn't always want to follow the rules and regulations. But now we're supposed to be completely surrendered. And that gentleness is shown if Prabhupada says, please appear like this, be shaven-headed, be clean, wear tilak. If you don't do it, then you're not gentle. Gentle doesn't mean some artificial Emily Post manners. But you can see whether he's following. My guru says this, I do what he says. He's gentle. So if we are like that, yes, he said this, so I have to do it. If someone else is independent, let him do it. But I'm going to surrender to everything my spiritual master has said. Then obviously, by the transcendental system, he gets all these blessings, just like Sutta Goswami. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yeah. Therefore, you can tell us all that you have scientifically learned from them. Scientifically means vijnanam. There's jnanam, knowledge, theoretical knowledge. And vijnanam means the knowledge of Lord Brahma is described as vijnanam, that he has realized by hearing from Krishna, he has realized the knowledge. Not only that we say there are many planets in the spiritual world, but a person has become convinced or realized by hearing and advancement and revelation that actually it's so. So if you hear from a person like that, parampara, that's called scientific. Now, scientific doesn't mean that he's played with some test tubes or that he did a sociological interview, empirical science, but it means vijnanam, that you've received knowledge from a person who has got jnanam and vijnanam, who's completely realized. Then if you accept it submissively, then you also have vijnanam, scientific knowledge. Doesn't mean experimental science. Yes. No, I don't know because I haven't read them. They may be described in that Purana. When you surrender, you get puffed up? You mean when you actually make a little achievement, then you feel puffed up? Yeah, so that's what they say. Devotional service is like the razor's edge. You say, if you surrender and be submissive, then you'll advance. So you become submissive, you surrender, and then you see that by applying yourself, you do well on Sankirtan, and then you get puffed up. Oh, I did so well. That means you were a little bit surrendered, but then you forgot. Where was your power coming from? You surrendered, and you made some advancement, and then you forgot. And you thought, yeah, I've surrendered enough. Now I see that I'm actually God. By that surrendering process, it was good to surrender. Now I won't surrender any further. And then you get hit again, and then you, oh, I better surrender again. So this progress is kind of not very smooth. But if we can just, what is Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever I have, I surrender this day. Bas, finish. I actually surrender. That's what we have to do. And then keep going, getting the good results of that surrender. And always keeping yourself lowly. So that's the mistake, that we surrender and then get a little mercy and then become deviated by it. We're so long we've been under the influence of this false ego, that we're always looking for it. That's called the last snare of Maya. Always looking for a chance to claim credit and not think of ourselves as a servant of Krishna. Even in the army of the servants of Krishna, the servants are not acting as servants when they take credit. Yes, following rules and regulations, chanting, hearing, everything, like we were saying on a schedule. It's not that you have to work separately for gentleness, but the mainstream of gentleness is obedience. Someone who is immediately bows to the will of the spiritual master. Yes, do this, yes. That's the real quality of the gentleness. And because he's so submissive to the spiritual master, he's not otherwise to the spiritual master's other disciples. He tries to also follow what they say. So if he immediately bows to the will of the spiritual master, not just make obeisances, dandavats, but constant bowing to the will actively, the spiritual master says, do this, and then he elaborates, the devotee takes it and elaborates on it, like Hanuman, and carries it out with daring and active service. Whatever the spiritual master wants, he works to get it. In that way, we see this real quality of the gentleness. I think time is up. Okay. All glories to Prabhupada.